For a good idea to take root, grow, and have a big impact, it needs more than luck. It needs to be able to scale, to be used in a wide variety of situations and circumstances. Our guest says that's easier said than done, but there are lots of strategies to use and mistakes to avoid to make sure that our great concept, our solution to a problem, makes it from a small platform to a bigger one to maybe a world-changing one. And he says with the careful use of data, we can make a big difference in a business, in a community, even around the world. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever tried to start a business or grow a business or maybe a community event or a public service? What have you encountered as you tried to scale it up? What kind of successes? What kind of problems did you run into? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Wisconsin's own John A. List is the Kenneth C. Griffin Distinguished Service Professor in Economics at the University of Chicago. He's a research associate at the National Bureau of Economic Research. John received his bachelor's degree from UW Stevens Point. His new book is called The Voltage Effect: How to Make Good Ideas Great and Great Ideas Scale. John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob.
That concept of scale, so important to your book. Can you give us a little more of a definition of what we mean when we talk about scaling our ideas?
No, absolutely. So I want you to start by thinking about a petri dish or an initial experiment or exploration in a city. And if you find something great in that initial study, scaling is about, can it survive growth and go to other cities or other towns or other communities and have the exact same level of impact?
And the voltage effect, that's what you use to kind of define, like, does it keep up that energy? Does it keep up that success in that initial round in the petri dish or the school or the business, whatever it might be? What do we mean by voltage?
Exactly. So some of the listeners might be confused, but I want you to think about voltage as a simple question. Does what happens in the small also happen in the large? So if you have a great, great effect or big impact in the small, should you expect that to happen also in the large? And I'm here to tell you that it won't. There will be a voltage effect. Now, whether it's a voltage drop or a voltage gain depends on the features of your idea.
You give lots of specific examples from your own work with businesses, governments, schools, and more. I want to tackle one of them. You worked with the car company Chrysler when they were having a tough time for a while on an employee health program aimed at saving money at the company, an initially promising result. Can you talk us through that story?
Sure. That's a great story to start with. So the CEO was named Tom Lasorda, and I don't want you to think about the baseball manager from the LA Dodgers, Tom. That was not a typo, Rob. A real guy named Tom Lasorda. He's from Germany, and he had a handlebar mustache, and he and the exec team flew down to the University of Chicago to talk to me and some colleagues. And they wanted to talk to us about problems that they had at Chrysler. And one of the problems that Tom pointed out was he felt they had an overweight or an obesity problem amongst their line workers. And he thought that that obesity problem led to absenteeism and presenteeism. So some of you may never have heard of presenteeism. What that means is you're actually physically on the job, but you're not very productive. So what we did is we put together a weight loss program that we tried in Dearborn, in the Dearborn manufacturing plant, and it looked great. And the initial results showed that within 6 months, we had a lot of these line employees, a lot of these manufacturing employees losing weight. So Tom said, let's scale it to all of the plants immediately. And we said, whoa. Let's take another look and let's try it again. Let's try to replicate it, not only in the Dearborn plant, but let's try it in two new plants. And what we found is a big no result, no result, and no result in all three of those plants. And what that told us is the initial insight was just a false positive. It was like when you take a COVID test and it says you're COVID positive, but you're actually negative. And that's what these results showed us. So we went back to the lab and produced something that actually did have voltage for him.
That illustrates one of what you describe as five pratfalls, five mistakes that people run across when they scale it up. Can you talk about the more general case here of that initial promising result that maybe was just a fluke?
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. So the story that I lead off the book with is actually Nancy Reagan and the DARE program. And in the DARE program, I was sitting in Sun Prairie High School. So that's where I went to high school. And a DARE program representative came in. And for all of you who don't remember or don't know what DARE is, it was a program where people would come in and say, just say no to drugs. And it was a social inoculation program. It was an information program. So these officials came in and they told us all about the bad reasons for, you know, why we shouldn't use drugs, et cetera, et cetera. So I looked at my teacher and I said, look, I don't use drugs, but I have a lot of friends who do. And there's no way this is going to work. In fact, if anything, Rob, I told him, it's going to be the opposite. This might cause me to dabble a little bit. And, you know, he said, well, John, you might be right, but they have data. And I looked into those data. He was right. They had data from Honolulu, and it was a big experiment. It had like 1,777 kids, but it was just a false positive. It was an error. And people don't really understand this, but when we do science, it's called the false positive rate. And in the best case scenario, that rate is still 5%. So 5% of the things we learn scientifically just by default are false positives. There's just no voltage there, even though the data are lying and telling us that there is voltage.
We're talking to John List, Sun Prairie High School graduate and UW-Stevens Point graduate, now economics professor at the University of Chicago. His new book is called The Voltage Effect, How to Make Good Ideas Great and Great Ideas Scale. John, if somebody out there is thinking, hey, I've got this successful local business and I want to franchise it or go statewide or nationwide, or I've got a solution to a school problem that could be useful in other schools around the state, how would you recommend they start figuring out how to scale that up?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks, Rob. So the way I think about it is, before I started working in this area, it was an area of art. And what I mean by that, it was move fast and break things, or fake it till you make it. You know, these are famous Silicon Valley phrases, but it's really thinking about the science of scaling is an art. Now, what I'm adding here is real scientific insights. So the first half of the book basically says, if you have an idea, these are the five areas that you should test out your idea to make sure that it has the oomph that you believe it has. So for example, I talk about the slice of the pie that you're able to generate with your idea. I talk about, well, was your initial success due to an unscalable ingredient? Now here I talk about restaurants. Mm-hmm. A lot of restaurants try to scale, but if the initial success is due to the chef, then I'm here to tell you that it won't scale because unique humans don't scale. And so there are just features like those two, and we also have spillovers and the supply side, that I basically give you a checklist that anyone, whether it's a person with an idea that might affect one person or a billion people, it's a scientific checklist that you should go through to figure out how scalable is my idea. And if it has features that you don't like, you then go back to the lab and change it around a little bit and put forward the idea that has a better chance to scale should you be interested in scaling.
We're talking to John List, economics professor at the University of Chicago. His new book is called The Voltage Effect, How to Make Good Ideas Great and Great Ideas Scale. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been at a workplace where a great new idea came along, maybe from elsewhere in your business or organization, school, whatever it might be, and then it fell flat when you tried to put it into practice? Have you tried to embiggen your own business or other idea at some point in your life? What worked? What didn't? What questions do you have for our guest? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with John List, economics professor at the University of Chicago. He was recently back speaking at his alma mater, UW-Stevens Point. We're picking up our conversation about his new book, The Voltage Effect, How to Make Good Ideas Great and Great Ideas Scale. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had an experience trying to take an idea, a business model, a training, you name it, and trying to make it bigger, bring it to more places? How did it work? What were the obstacles? Call 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Nate is with us in Madison. Nate, hi.
Thank you very much. I happen to be a graduate of University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point also. Right. So good to hear you. Here's my issue. I'm an educator, and so I am very interested in upscaling a strategy that's been developed by people from across the state of Wisconsin, the rural areas. And the focus of the strategy is on about three key elements that we're trying to teach and implement with groups on a countywide type basis across the state of Wisconsin. And we've got a handbook, we've got a summary of the handbook, and we're planning to do a video orientation. What can you do? What can you offer me as suggestions how we might scale this up?
Interesting, Nate. Thanks. Nice concrete example there. John, what would you suggest for Nate?
No, I like it. First of all, Nate, congratulations on being a fellow pointer. It's always wonderful to hear from my brethren. It's obviously a great university, and I just visited there about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I can tell you that things at Point are going great, and I'm really excited about the new leadership there. So yeah, that's a good question. I'm also working in education, and I started a pre-K school some years ago, and the elements that we found the hardest in terms of trying to scale in the area of education was, on the one hand, getting the attention of people who we wanted to send the message to. So in the book, this is chapter 2 about know your audience and understand how to get the attention of your audience. So I suspect that you have that as part of your problem, that you have something great to give, but they're not always in receipt or willing to receive it readily. And in that world, we've thought about different incentives to get people interested in our product, in our educational product, which we're giving away for free. But so you might say, well, wait a second, it's free. Why aren't they taking it up? Well, people are busy and there's an opportunity cost of time. So I think the first thing that you have to cross is understanding how to get the attention of your audience and to get their compliance and actually reading and listening to your materials. And the second one has to do with your delivery mechanism. So what we found is, in Chicago Heights, where I started a pre-K school, we needed good teachers, and the teachers needed to be a certain level of quality. The problem is, I only had to hire 30 teachers, but if we want to really scale it up, we knew we had to hire 30,000 teachers, and it's hard to hire 30,000 good teachers. It was easy to hire 30. So you might also have to think about the delivery mechanism and to make sure that the quality maintains as you scale. I like where you're going with the videos, because something that always scales well is technology. but technology doesn't always substitute well for humans. And in that case, you have to have the correct humans actually delivering it to make sure that people are learning what you want them to learn. So I think those are two of the biggest hurdles that you're going to have to overcome, Nate. But thanks for your question.
Nate, thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Okay, let me test myself, John, and see if I've learned what you want me to learn. Would one possibility for Nate be to say, if they're hoping to get this in every county in Wisconsin, maybe pick one new county, maybe different than the one they're working in now, see if those ideas that worked in County A work in County B before trying to drop this thing everywhere?
Absolutely. You are a very quick learner.
Boom.
So, Rob, that's right. So the idea here is, instead of going full-blown right away with everything you have, why not try it out in a pilot? This is what we do. I used to be the chief economist at Lyft, and before that, Uber. We would choose one market and try out a few different things. And we would see if, you know, one way to attract people's attention might be a certain type of advertisement or a gift card or something, and then try out another way. And then once you figure out what works, then it's a lot easier to scale it across different counties in Wisconsin. And so, Rob, thank you very much. You're exactly right. That would be the approach, that the scientific approach that you would want to take to get the news out and attract attention.
We're talking to John List, economist, about his new book, The Voltage Effect, How to Make Good Ideas Great and Great Ideas Scale. One thing that struck me, John, especially in the later chapters of your book, is when you're going from something small to something big, that workplace culture that might have worked well, or you might have been able to get over the rough points in a small operation, can really start to fall apart when you go big. How do you translate workplace culture from small to big?
Yeah, Rob, that's a great question. So in chapter 9, I talk about scaling culture. So that's the title of that chapter. And you're exactly right. One kind of management style that will work when you go from one or two employees up to 50 or 100 might be altogether different than the management style and the approach you need when you go from 100 to 10,000 or 10,000 to 200,000. And that really is about, in the very beginning, how you recruit your workers, how you recruit your employees, how you generate an inclusive and diverse environment that has equal pay for equal performance, and how that then maps into an environment of collegiality rather than, I've been in a lot of places where it's really misguided meritocracy. And meritocracy is great at its roots, but if it's misguided and it turns into a kleptocracy, then we're in trouble. And that's what I see a lot of organizations actually evolve into. But I think in the very beginning, you can lay the seeds for an inclusive and a collaborative environment, because in every study after study after study, what you find is the import of diversity. And what I mean about that is diversity of thought. So I want people on a team who come at a problem from very different perspectives. And in many cases, that diversity of thought leads to a lot more innovation, a lot more exploration, a lot more, we're just getting the job done at the most efficient possible way. And that ends up leading to a culture that can scale.
That makes me think, John, if I have an idea that I think is really good, I want to root for this idea, right? And I want everybody to agree with me, and that can get me into trouble. How can I overcome my, and I think most people's, inbuilt defensiveness and make sure I've got some, you know, good naysayers around me?
No, that's an excellent, excellent question. So look, we have an idea that's our baby, and we take offense when people tell us it's a dumb idea. And when they bring data to us, we say, that data, that's wrong. Here's the right data over here. It's called confirmation bias in psychology. When we have a baby or we have an idea that we're trying to expand and we really believe in, we look for evidence that supports our thoughts and our baby. And that's exactly what you do not want to surround yourself with. I totally get the person in the room who's constantly your critic. That can be too much at points, but you do need a rational person to say, look, let's kick the tires, and I'm going to be the devil's advocate for this idea, and I want to give some reasons why it won't scale. This is what I call a scaling unit within organizations. I want them to think scientifically, and I want them to be the critic to say, well, let's look at it from a different perspective. Or, you know, that may have worked for those people, but will it work for these other people who we're going to try to sell into as well? And I think you always need a devil's advocate in the room, because they will keep you honest. And it's not that you're trying to be nefarious. It's simply that as humans, we have built-in biases. And these biases are very, very difficult to overcome. So in many cases, you need an external force to try to allow you and make you overcome your own biases.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. And it's always, always wonderful to support public radio. Rob, you're doing a great thing, so keep it going, okay?
Thank you so much. That's John List, the Kenneth C. Griffin Distinguished Service Professor in Economics at the University of Chicago, a graduate, as we mentioned, of UW-Stevens Point. We talked to him today about his latest book. It's called The Voltage Effect, How to Make Good Ideas Great and Great Ideas Scale. Still time for you to share your thoughts. Have you helped make an idea, a business model, a training, whatever, scale up from local to big? What went right? What went wrong? You can email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org.